Welcome to the Midday with Norman and Vicki and a guest.
We have a guest conductor for the Madison Symphony Orchestra concerts this weekend, Ado DeVart. So welcome very much to the studio.
Thank you.
You're here to conduct a bit of Wagner and, of course, the Elgar Enigma Variations and a couple of works with a pianist who we hope will join us shortly.
And what we heard just before the news, by the way, was Ado DeVart conducting the Netherlands Wind Ensemble with the Minuet from the Happy Workshop of Richard Strauss.
Now, you have an interesting project of, I don't know if you'd call them reductions or, this one is called an orchestral quest, kind of an orchestral version of the operas by Richard Wagner. This is Parsifal. We're going to hear a little bit from it. I'm interested in the genesis of this project.
In the 90s, we did late 80s and first half of the 90s with the Radio Philharmonic in Holland. We did a series of opera in concert in the Concertgebouw, which has as the advantage that you don't have to deal with a bad stage director. You can just focus completely on the music and that in one of the great acoustics in the world, in the Concertgebouw. And we did the whole Ring cycle in concert. We did Parsifal in concert. We did Frau ohne Schatten, Richard Strauss, Rosenkavalier, War and Peace, Prokofiev, and an enormous list, Lohengrin, Wagner. And after having done the Ring, I asked our percussionist, Henk de Vlieger, who is a very, very good arranger and composer himself, whether he couldn't distill out of 15 hours of the Ring and a sort of a chronological, starting with the first note of Rheingold and ending with the last note of Götterdämmerung, and take us through in about 65 minutes with the highlights of the Ring, and also the but not all the necessarily all the short pieces, but he then wrote some music which he used from Wagner. It's 99.9% Wagner and 0.1% de Vlieger. He made some connections between the pieces so that you didn't have to stop and go, stop and go, stop and go.
Right.
So it is one continuous flow, and that was such a success. We took it to Germany on tour and got mixed reviews, in the sense that some Germans thought this, you couldn't absolutely not do this. This was heresy, but most people thought it was fantastic to have it hear all this glorious music. And so after that, I asked him to also do Parsifal and Tristan. So that's what he did.
Well, it's a great way to bring that music to people who wouldn't necessarily be able or willing to go to an opera, let alone an entire series of them.
Yeah.
And it's also part of a fairly long tradition, isn't it? That was done with Mozart operas almost in his time. So
yes, and it saves an enormous amount of money. You would have to have an incredibly expensive cast to do these Wagner pieces. To do them well, you know, there are no cheap good Wagner singers there. And in that sense, and it is done fantastically well. And we had great fun recording them and playing them.
So shall we have just a
we're going to get a taste
cameo?
Of Parsifal, and this, I assume, is a little portrait. The second track of this particular CD is a little picture of Parsifal.
Yes, yeah, it's first act, I think.
And the orchestra, again, is?
The Radio Philharmonic, Netherlands Radio Philharmonic, in an arrangement by Henk de Vlieger, and it's called Parsifal.
Portrait of Parsifal, you might call it, from a would you call the overall experience?
Well, an
orchestral quest of the music of Wagner, in this case, mm-hmm. Parsifal, with Edo de Waard conducting.
The Netherlands Radio Philharmonic.
We have Edo de Waard with us, and we've been joined by someone who is going to be performing with him in the Madison Symphony Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Per Tengstrand, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Pianist playing two things that are not so often heard on concert programs, the list in particular, but what a wonderfully negative sounding piece, Malediction, for piano and orchestra.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a spirit, that it has the spirit of Malediction all throughout, almost, when you learn it, when you practice it, because it's very awkwardly written, actually, and it's a very difficult list. For pianists, Liszt is very, you're very grateful when you play his pieces normally, because they sound so difficult and so, they sound so well written for the piano, and it's actually slightly less difficult than it seems to be. But here, it sounds difficult, but it's even more difficult than it sounds.
Oh.
But for both, for everyone.
How is it orchestrally?
terrible. I think it's a piece that I think this is the one first and last time in my life I do it, and it's ungrateful for the orchestra to play. They have many bars resting, and they play poom poom, and it's not very interesting. There is almost nothing really to play. It's awkward. That's what he says. It's very awkward.
Well, it's curious. He was very young when he wrote it, wasn't he? And he played it just once. And then it was lost.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
I think he started it out when he was 17 or 18, something like that. And then I think he finished it, though, quite some years later, if I'm...
He was constantly revising things for
probably
years.
Yeah, maybe should have put it away. But it's interesting.
Well, how about the Strauss? How does that size up?
The burlesque.
That's a fantastic piece. I think that for me, playing Strauss as a pianist, it's and you get in the unusual situation where you don't have, if you play, if you start working on a Beethoven sonata, you have some 20, 25 other Beethoven sonatas behind you, and you kind of just continue the work. Here in Strauss, as a pianist, you
there's
have
not much.
No, there is not much, and you find yourself a little bit without references to hold on to for piano. The same I encountered. I played something by Sibelius. That was just, I felt completely lost.
Yeah, that's true. Very.
So I know why when I play the Chopin's cello sonata, why you always get. I understand a little bit why the cellist always gets it wrong.
Because he's just not used to hearing Chopin with cello music.
Yeah.
But I know, Edo, that you have conducted a lot of recorded a lot, too, and we'll be hearing some of that on the program. Strauss, unlike Liszt, maybe, is known as one of the great orchestrators, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely, and he writes fantastic for orchestra and also for piano. Everything he ever touched, he was such a consummate professional and knew his business so well. I mean, there are always, in every piece almost, there are some minutes where he just knits from one to the other. He sort of has to plug things together. But you have to always take great joy in his professionalism, how he writes for the orchestra and how he comes up with his inventions. And it's a composer I love to perform and love to work on all the pieces, the operas and the orchestral pieces and the chamber music. And he's an amazing composer. So this is a good piece, I think. It's a young piece, but it's very good.
You get a kind of a lilt in so much Strauss. Does it have that kind of trademark sound that some of the later pieces have?
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. Per was afraid that it would get too much of waltz here and there, although there is not that much chance to do that. But Strauss has never practically written anything where there is not a hint of a waltz somewhere hidden sometimes. And so you go with it, and it's fine.
I think there is this wonderful kind of young adrenaline in both pieces. You can hear in both pieces, I think, that these are young composers. And actually, Strauss wrote this. It has a little bit of a similar story. Strauss wrote this when he was very young again, and he had one of the great pianists of the time playing it and disliking it very much, saying this is unplayable. And Strauss actually agreed and put it away, and then he revised it and finished it, and it became a quite popular piece in its day.
He was another composer who had the advantage of this long career. Those two, the horn concertos that he wrote, were 60 years apart. And yeah. And so he had the relative luxury of being able to update things over the course of a long period of time.
Yeah.
He was a great conductor, too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a fabulous conductor, yeah. Supposedly. Yeah.
But we have
he has the famous say that if you, there are a couple of things, never look at the brass because you encourage them to play too loud. So, and the other one was if you sweat, you're not really a good conductor.
So that's
many
a tall
of us,
order.
Many of us wow. are not really fair, me included.
Hope that doesn't apply for pianists.
We have some music we'd like to hear. We have just one of your CDs, Per, and it is the Glazunov piano transcriptions of, well, his concert waltz and The Seasons. And since we're just beginning to enjoy spring here, we thought we might hear a little bit of The Seasons. And these are transcriptions. This one is by the composer.
Yeah, it's... Actually, this was found just a couple of years before I recorded that. So it is. It was this wonderful label, Pro Piano, in New York, and they do. Except maybe for my recording, they do very nice recordings all throughout. and they had some guy in Japan who found this just a few years ago. They found this. The score where Glazunov himself had made a piano arrangement of The Seasons, which is such a fabulous piece for orchestra. But again, it comes a little bit down to the what you said about Wagner and making it more accessible and less expensive, that I can go to a small town and play this piece and let them discover it many times, and then they can, you know the piece and continue on it with orchestra version. So it's a wonderful thing and great music, but very, very, I guess he played it himself, but it was, he just did not take any consideration of, he just wanted all the notes in there. He didn't care how it felt in the hands. So
this is Spring from The Seasons by Glazunov, Per Tengstrand, the pianist. In Wisconsin, sometimes spring is like that.
I was going to say, that's real life. Spring ends just like that. Well, that was one of the... We dipped in and out of The Seasons there very quickly by Glazunov, and that piano transcription of the ballet by the composer himself. And it was played by Per Tengstrand. And you will be playing with Madison Symphony Orchestra this weekend. Ado Devard is conducting. One of the things we're wondering about is the Enigma variations. Do you have an idea about the Enigma?
Well, Elgar never explained what he really meant by that.
I think it is just a form of inspiration that you think I'm going to write. He had obviously a very solid circle of friends and people that he liked, beginning with his wife, who is highly featured and quoted again in the finale, and he just wanted to do a tribute. I think sometimes writing another symphony is probably not that interesting, and he had a beautiful theme, and there are many thoughts about what that theme meant. I don't really lie awake from that. I just know it's a beautiful theme, and I'm more interested in a way what he does with it, how he sort of weaves it around, and you know, it shows up in different guises and sometimes almost irrecognizable. And it's more, you know, sometimes like you make a program and you say this is about Vienna in the 1920s. So you have something to tickle your
imagination.
And I think that was really what he wanted.
Well, it's worked.
Yeah, it's a fantastic piece. I love his music anyway. He's one of those composers. You turn your radio on and you hear three bars and you know it's Elgar. I mean, he has so much his own sound picture and his own sound world. And
you know it's English, too, most of the time.
Absolutely.
Just hearing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Did you want to, have an orchestral version of what we just heard? See if we can line them up right? Because they were originally written for orchestra, these Seasons of Glazunov.
We just happened to have Edo DeVart's orchestra recording with the Minnesota Orchestra.
And we'll have our quiz question after that, probably about 12:34, something like that, but well worth waiting for. So here's the orchestral version of what we just heard. Those seasonal transitions.
Yes. Well, in this case, we're going from spring into summer, of course. Well,
but there you get the contrast between the piano version and the orchestral version of Glazunov.
Wonderful, bright, energetic, and as you say, Edo, personal music.
Yeah, wonderful music.
The Minnesota Orchestra there.
Mm-hmm, with Glazunov's, or a little piece of the seasons.
Plenty of charm either way. Well, let's see. We should reiterate that Edo DeVart will be leading the Madison Symphony and pianist Per Tengstren in performances of, let's see if I can remember it all, of course, the Richard Strauss Burlesque for piano and orchestra, the Liszt Malediction, and then also the Elgar Enigma Variations,
and a Wagner
Prelude, Meistersinger.
Meistersinger, yeah. Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon performances with the Madison Symphony. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you, and look forward to those performances. And
Thank you.
I know that you are in and out of Wisconsin quite a bit, so maybe we'll see you again.
Okay.
Before too long.
I hope so.